Beautiful words of St. John's Gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. A story was told about an Anglican Church of England missionary who had gone to southern Africa to preach the gospel. And while he was there preaching to the natives, one of the natives asked him, "How many Christs are there?" Kind of perplexed, the missionary said, "Well, there's only one Christ." "Well, that's the case," the native said, "then why are there so many different Christians?" "Because you come and proclaim your Christ, the Methodists have their Christ, the Baptists speak of their Christ, the Catholics have theirs. If there's only one Christ, why so many Christians?" And the missionary was kind of confounded by that. And that was the beginning of an organization called the World Council of Churches, begun by a Protestant movement to bring together all Christians, because of that scandal that we have of being divided as so many who believe in one God and one Christ. And it's true. The divisions of Christianity are indeed a scandal to the world, and Jesus himself prayed that there be one flock under one shepherd. We're all called to be of one heart and one mind. We're not there yet, but it's getting better and better than it had been since the so many splits in the denominations in the past 500 years. But despite our differences, God is calling each Christian, each baptized person, to holiness. That's the key to overcoming any divisions that we have. It's becoming who we're truly called to be holy and blameless in God's sight, to follow Christ in everything, living in Christ who calls us to live in him, and with him to live eternally with the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the scriptures, God reminds his people, that's all of us, to be holy, for he, our God, is holy. But what does holiness mean? In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word kadosh means separate, holy other. And that's exactly what God is. He is totally separate from us. He is wholly other than us. He is everything that we are not. God is unlike anything in creation. He is totally other than. He is eternal. He is infinite. He is all-powerful. He is sinless. However, he did make us in his image and likeness so that with him we too could be eternal. That with him we also could be infinite, that we could be powerful in him and be without sin. For the people to be holy, they had to be separate themselves. They had to be different from the other nations around them. They had to be unlike the pagans who worshipped a multitude of gods and had a very sensual and fleshly way of life. The Israelites had a separate vocation, a separate call to be like God, and to become his voice, his face to the nations by how they lived, how they believed, and how they worshipped. It's the same thing for us as Christians, but with a different twist. In the New Testament, the holiness of God isn't emphasized quite as much. Jesus does say in the Our Father, for example, that his name is holy, obviously. And the Greek word hagios means that he is most exalted, that God is above all things. It appears that the holiness of God is a given for the evangelists and the apostles who wrote the New Testament. But what is emphasized is the holiness of the church. The church as the body of Christ, like God the Father, is meant to be holy. For the Israelites of old, holiness consisted in being the chosen nation which followed the laws and commandments of the covenant given through Moses, as in the first reading. Holiness was something outside of yourself, though, coming by designation and resignation. God chose you and you submitted to it. For the New Testament, however, holiness is similar, but in that we are called to be chosen, called and chosen, to be part of Christ's body, the church. And Christ is the fountain of holiness, but he fills us with his Spirit to cleanse us, to fill us with grace, and to live in the fullness of life. This occurs through baptism. Jesus told his apostles at the time of his ascension to go out into all nations and preach the gospel everywhere, baptizing those who came to believe in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Trinity, cleansing the baptized from sin, illuminating us with sanctifying grace, and literally marking our souls forever as sons and daughters of God the Father, and thus brothers and sisters of Jesus, who is God the Son, and as temples of the Holy Spirit. Each of us, individually and collectively, experiencing something profound, an indwelling of the Holy Trinity, binding us to God and to one another. God is all about unity and love. That's why Jesus tells us that salvation is found in two things: loving God with our whole heart, soul, and mind and strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Loving God, loving one another, brings us all together as one. God himself is love. The Trinity is a community of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bound together by complete mutual self-giving love. Unity and love. That is God. Therefore, as St. Paul tells us, there shall be no divisions among you. And there should be no divisions among us. The divisions that we cause are a scandal and an offense to God. Whether it's divisions in churches, denominations, or divisions in families and communities, divisions within nations or amongst nations themselves with others, all of this stems from human pride and self-love. In the first reading, God speaks to Moses about people who have this kind of a thing. This is indeed a stiff-necked people. In the French translation of this, it's not stiff-necked in English as we have it, it's tête dure. We all know what that means. Hard-headed, okay? Muddle-minded people. But yet we ask God to pardon our wickedness and our sins and to receive us as his own. That's exactly what we do. We ask God to forgive us and to heal our divisions. Thus we heard St. Paul tell us in his letter to the Corinthians, brothers and sisters, mend your ways. Mend your ways and encourage one another in doing good. Agree with one another when it comes to the gospel and seek to live in peace. When you do these things, the God of love and peace will be with you. When you greet one another, give a kind and friendly embrace and a holy kiss, recognizing the presence of Christ in each of us. All the holy ones greet you. He's saying, you're not alone in this. The other members of the churches, those who I know, St. Paul says, are giving you their greeting as well because we are one in Christ. Thus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. What a beautiful encouragement we have from the words of St. Paul. Dear friends, we have come to acknowledge that we have a call from Christ. We have accepted that. He calls us not to division, but to communion in himself. Just as the Trinity is unity and love, we are called by Christ as distinct human persons to be one in a unity of faith, a unity of hope, a unity of love. In this, we've all become temples of the Holy Spirit. We've all been filled with the presence of God within. Holiness is not something that we do. Holiness is something that we are. And even in our human weakness, we know that we still suffer from the wounds of original sin. And in the midst of all that, Christ still commands us to perfect love of him and perfect love of one another by perseverance in the Holy Spirit. It's by union with God, a union that's brought about by forgiveness of sin and the grace of the Holy Spirit, that you and I choose to use all of our faculties of body, of mind, of heart, of soul, of will, using all these things to choose Christ, to choose good, to avoid sin and anything leading to it. It's quite simply for us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, a living being in action that brings about grace and makes that which is around us holy. As we offer ourselves with Christ, Christ makes us holy. He makes the places where God dwells holy. He makes all these holy places with us there, places of truth and life, places of purity and peace. Thus we become people with good thoughts, good actions, good manners, good work, truly good people, made so by the Holy Spirit. The result of spending good time with God in prayer and reflection, with a good desire to be and to do what is good and truly good and holy. May the Lord indeed find favor with us. May he bring us to perfection, perfection in faith and in love, strengthen our hope, making us holy and blameless in his sight. May we all truly be one, as Christ and the Father are one, of one mind, of one heart, of one vision, realizing our equal dignity before the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And may the Holy Trinity accompany us always, dwell deep within us, and receive us as his own. For we are truly his, and he is ours forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.